Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Barack Obama, pushing for his economic stimulus package today, says there will be strings, but there needs to be a deal.
Let's not make the perfect the enemy of the essential. Let's show people all over our country who are looking for leadership, who are desperate for leadership right now, that in difficult times, we're equal to the task.
Some economists are joining Republicans, saying the deal needs to be smaller and more tightly focused on things that will for sure create jobs quickly.
This isn't monopoly money, Mr. President. All of it is borrowed. Borrowed money that the taxpayers will have to pay back at some point.
Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell. The president eagerly put his signature today on the state children's health insurance program. Gets an expansion of nearly $33 billion more dollars over the next few years to provide health insurance to 4 million more children than have it today, and smokers will pay for it with tobacco taxes. The NTSB is confirming, as the pilot had reported, it was birds in the engines of the Airbus that wound up in the Hudson River.
Attaching a photograph of a feather 4 inches long found in the left engine, the National Transportation Safety Board says it's certain now that organic material in both engines is bird remains, all being sent to the Smithsonian Institution here in Washington, where ornithologists will try to determine at least if these were unusually big birds and how common they are around LaGuardia Airport. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
In taping for Sunday's CBS 60 Minutes program, Katie Couric talks to the crew of that airliner.
One of the flight attendants who was in the back of the plane said it was hell. It was a very violent landing. You know, her whole station came, you know, basically blew apart. There was water very high up for her.
After living with the controversy over the Patriot Act and the war and tough interrogations, former Vice President Dick Cheney says the Obama administration's making him worry a bit.
When we get people who are more concerned about reading the rights to an Al-Qaeda terrorist than they are with protecting the United States against people who are absolutely committed to do everything they can to kill Americans, then I worry.
Cheney, in a Politico interview, said he worries that Obama policies may make a catastrophic terror attack on the U.S. more likely. Olympic champion Michael Phelps says he's going to have to deal with the fallout of the photo of him with the marijuana pipe, and he tells AP it'll be something he thinks that will help him to grow. South Carolina is coming out with some new license plates. Some will honor military heroes with silver or bronze stars. Having such a plate means you earned one. And there are also parrot head plates for Jimmy Buffett fans. That's why you have Jimmy Buffett and Alan Jackson in your ear there. On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 122 points today. The Nasdaq was down a point. This is CBS News.
I'm the foreman of a construction company. We just added Aflac as one of the benefits we provide for our employees. At no direct cost to the company, Aflac makes our foundation of benefits even stronger. My crew is so happy with Aflac, they're going on and on about it.
Hammer out the specifics. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to AflacForBusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
That's Jared.
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $40 to $1,200.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Interior Secretary Ken Salazar has reversed the Bush administration. He's scrapping the lease of 77 parcels of federal land for oil and gas drilling in Utah.
Interior Secretary Ken Salazar is illustrating the need for a better balance between energy production and protection of valuable public lands. The reaction of Mark Clemens with the Utah office of the Sierra Club. Clemens says the threat of oil and gas drilling in Utah's Red Rock Country has ended for now.
Secretary has authority not to offer parcels for oil and gas leasing, and that decision is not subject to review.
The Sierra Club was one of the groups challenging the sale of oil and gas leases in Utah. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
So when you turned 30, what did you do to celebrate it? Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, B.J. Van Busicum set out to run on a treadmill for 24 hours with some restroom breaks. He raised $3,000 for the American Lung Association in the running. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Winter weather. It's hard on oil, which can be hard on your engine, which can be hard on you if it all breaks down. So don't put off an oil change and get stuck this winter. Go to Advance Auto Parts. They got 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for only $15.99. And an air filter to help save some gas, and you're good to go until spring. Get to Advance and change your oil and filter for less before a breakdown costs you a whole lot more. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts can help you keep the wheels turning.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The ows are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah with Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host is dressed in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black.
Well, not always.
Why you never see bright colors on my back.
Well, I always match.
And why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Tell us, Johnny.
I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down. Living in the hopeless, hungry side of town.
And there are more and more of us.
I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time.
I know a few of those.
I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you think he's talking straight to you and me? Well, we're doing mighty fine.
Thank you, Johnny. We're launching another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, 3 hours of conversation about the news of the day. Lots of great people to talk with. Your phone calls welcome all along the way at 888-5-PETER-B. And should you receive, for example, just 1 hour of the Peter B. Collins Show on your favorite radio station, like Laurel, Montana, or Portland, Oregon, you can get the whole shebang online at peterbcollins.com. Just follow the links to podcasts. We also have the live stream every weekday, 3 to 6 Pacific, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And that link is on the homepage, too, at peterbcollins.com. And depending on how long it takes to work out all the technology, within a week or 10 days, we will be announcing a massive addition to our streaming capabilities so that people can listen all over the place all at the same time. On today's program, Eric Bollert will join me in a moment from Media Matters. We're going to talk about the press treatment of Obama and how he's getting blamed for Republican antics. We'll also talk later this hour with an interesting reporter. My first time talking with her, I think her first name is Chisholm, last name Lee. She is one of the new journalists at the new nonprofit investigative website called ProPublica.com, ProPublica.org. And we're going to explore the known unknowns. They publish a list of the Bush memos about national security, about torture, about wiretapping, that are still secret. And in the parlance of Donald Rumsfeld, that would make them known unknowns. Next hour, we're going to talk to a business guy, Tony Lent, who's the managing director of U.S. Renewables and also the leader of a group called E2. And we're going to get the corporate view, or at least the business view, of the new green economy. And we'll kick it off with a trick question about clean coal just to see how green Tony Lent is, okay? And Robert Borisov returns to our program, a longtime political activist, worked on Jesse Jackson's presidential campaigns and many other races. He is the co-founder of the Campaign for America's Future. And we're going to talk about an issue that Chris, one of our listeners from Salinas, brought up yesterday, which is the debate over the inclusion of a Buy American rule with U.S. taxpayer dollars in the so-called stimulus package, which is being debated, and that's a generous term, in the United States Senate right now. And lots of room for your phone calls in our third and final hour. We call it the free speed zone, but you don't have to wait till then. You can express yourself as we talk with other people at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Eric Bollert's at Media Matters. Their website has a lot of great information, mediamatters.org. And Eric's column this week is very timely. Welcome, Eric.
Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay today. And before we dive into the commentary in your piece, I just wanted to frame this conversation because Digby over at Daily Coast last week put up a little chart that showed that Republicans are getting much more FaceTime on television during this new Obama administration than Democrats, even on the nominally liberal programs on nominally liberal MSNBC.
If you watch cable news, you would think Republicans won the November election.
Yeah.
You would think they were setting the agenda. What they had to say was of the most importance, that they were basically calling the shots. It's pretty extraordinary.
Well, and one of the things that goes along with that is Limbaugh is suggesting some sort of a coalition governance. He said, well, you know, the vote tally for the president was roughly 54-46. So in the stimulus package, we should have 46% tax cuts because that's what Republicans want. And I was just floored by that, Eric, because, you know, all through the stolen Bush presidencies, they claimed like they had 80% legitimacy, 80% support, and they governed in that manner. They never looked to the Democrats and said, well, Kerry got 51% of the vote and Gore got 52% of the vote, so that's how we ought to split things up.
Right, and it's not only the Rush Limbaughs, but it's sort of the village, you know, the mainstream Beltway pundits, you know, Maureen Dowd in her column in the New York Times today saying, well, Obama should have just gone through that stimulus bill and got rid of all the pork just like Republicans want him to.
Yeah.
Because, of course, during the Bush years, that's what Bush did. He rewrote legislation based on the concerns and objections of Democrats, right?
Yeah, and then Maureen cited chapter and verse of all the examples there, and it didn't take up any space at all.
She also, just to give you the context and the warped perspective that Beltway pundits have, at the top of her column, she compared the Tom Daschle story to the terrorist attacks of 9/11. So in Maureen Dowd's mind, and Contessa Brewer on MSNBC did it today as well, the connection was that, as Bush was being told by Andy Carr that a second plane had hit the World Trade Center and that America was under attack, he was in an elementary school reading a book. And yesterday, when Tom Daschle pulled out his HHS, to run the HHS, right. Obama and Michelle, Barack and Michelle Obama were at a great school reading books. So for Maureen Dowd and Contessa Brewer at MSNBC, they were almost identical, because when 3,000 Americans die at the hands of terrorists and Tom Daschle withdraws his nominee, they're the same thing.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
That is creepy beyond.
And I don't know why the president made the kind of snarky comment that was picked up that, you know, he spoke to these school children and said, we were tired of being in the White House after only 2 weeks.
Right.
That's probably not real helpful.
Right. But at this point, point, it doesn't matter what he says. The press has, you know, essentially declared war on the Obama administration, and suddenly Republican politicians are the ones that not only reporters and pundits, but Americans are supposed to turn to for economic advice, for guidelines in terms of how to govern the country in a fiscally responsible manner. Mm-hmm. Suddenly it's Republican congressmen and senators who now hold all the answers to our economic woes. That's essentially the message that we're getting from the press, the Beltway press, in the last 2 weeks. And it's bizarre.
Yeah. And it's even more bizarre, just to amplify what you're saying, that these same people who approved all the blank checks for Bush, for tax cuts, and for wars, are now, you know, as parsimonious as they can be. And, you know, they want only tax cuts. They don't want any spending that would give people jobs or actually flow through the economy immediately. And by the way, I'm not opposed to one of the tax proposals that they've made, which is to immediately reduce payroll withholding.
Right.
That would put more money in people's pockets every other Friday or whenever they get paid. And so I don't oppose that. But, you know, they are really obstructionists who offer these distracting proposals that position them as fiscal conservatives. But they're really, you know, trying to pinch pennies while the ship is taking on water.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. You mentioned the phrase obstructionist, and that is a term the press has essentially banned from any discussion regarding the stimulus package and the ongoing debate in Washington. Republicans are simply not to be described as obstructionists. And as I pointed out in my column, for years and decades, the sort of the calculus within Beltway newsrooms was, if an opposition party stood in the way of a very popular president, then the opposition party, you know, ran the risk of a very significant, you know, political damage. But those guidelines have been completely thrown out the window, and Republicans are not described as obstructionists, and the press spends almost no time contemplating any possible downside for trying to stand in the way of, you know, a popular president's sort of signature legislative effort.
Well, and Eric, these guys, and it is mostly Republican guys, who are posturing like, oh, this is just an ordinary highway bill or farm bill or something, where, you know, you go back and forth and you claim to be a prudent or frugal, and in the end, if your pork gets in there, you'll vote for their pork. But these are extraordinary times. And the other thing that is elliptical here, or just completely left out of the commentary, is that these are the very same people responsible for the frickin' mess we've got.
That's right.
And they're offering the same prescriptions that got us into this mess as a way to try to get us out. And virtually everybody knows that it won't work.
Right. You know, if you listen to the press, you know, Obama should have. Well, what's very interesting is, you know, the Maureen Dowd situation and others, David Broder and Mark Halperin at Time Magazine, you know, after all the House Republicans voted against the stimulus bill, they're basically saying Obama should have met him halfway. Obama should have adopted their initiatives, which is very interesting, massive sweeping tax cuts. Obama's been on the record, and his advisors have been on the record, that massive sweeping tax cuts is not going to fix the situation, is not going to stimulate the economy. But if you listen to pundits, Obama should have basically tossed his principles out the window, because it's more important to make Republicans happy than it is to stick to your policy. Remember when Bill Clinton came into office, the press immediately started highlighting all the flip-flops, all the campaign promises he didn't keep. But with Obama, he rather than sticking to his, you know, economic policies, he should have just thrown that all out the window in the name of bipartisanship. So, you know, it's yet another double standard.
And as we continue.
And because for the press, the most important thing in terms of the stimulus debate is to placate Republicans, to make them happy, because they're the adults, and literally, they know how to run the economy. I mean, that is the subtext through all of this coverage.
We'll take a break and return with Eric Bullard from Media Matters, talk more about his column and the way the press has set up this kind of trap for Obama, because Republicans aren't supporting his effort despite the bipartisanship and all these Republicans he's appointed to the cabinet. If you have a comment, I want to hear it. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation.
Is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day. So you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000. Or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com, and we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz, experts in the art of expression.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm talking with Eric Bullard from Media Matters for America. Their powerful website's always available to you to check the news and check the work of the corporate media. It's mediamatters.org. And, Eric, there's a priceless comment that leads your column this week, but some people may not know who Chuck Todd is. He's now the NBC White House correspondent, and it seems to be a plum he got because he was the numbers cruncher during the presidential primaries and campaign over the past year, 2008. But does he have any actual journalism background?
I don't know. He seems to do okay at times. It certainly, you know, years ago, I mean, to be a White House correspondent, I mean, you had to pay so many dues and work for probably a decade or so in the D.C. Bureau. But now it's sort of more personality, and people liked him because, as you say, he crunched numbers, and now he's a reporter. But what I highlighted was, I think it was the second day of the Obama briefings at the White House. They were talking about the stimulus package, and the question came up, you know, was Obama disappointed that he hadn't been able to get enough Republican support? This is actually before Republicans voted. And Chuck Todd asked if Obama would veto his own legislation if he didn't get enough Republican support. And I offer that, although I don't know how many thousands of questions have been asked at the press briefings over the years. That may have been one of the most inane ever.
Yeah.
Forward.
Yeah, it really does seem dumb. And what we're seeing now is that because it was zero votes from the House, and John
right.
Boehner is bragging about his obstructionism as if that's
right.
good for the country, the media is now playing that with the help of all these Republicans who appear on television
right.
at the expense of Democrats, as if Obama has blown it, and that he is responsible
that's right.
for the recalcitrance of these minority Republicans.
A couple things are amazing. Is the press has spent a lot of time dissecting and analyzing bipartisanship. So In focusing on the topic of bipartisanship, i.e. the two political parties coming together and cooperating, the press blames one party. The onus is completely on Obama. And the onus is not only on Obama to get some bipartisan support, it's to completely change decades' worth of partisan bickering in Washington. They claim that this is what Obama said he would do. In fact, if you go back, Obama used almost identical rhetoric to what George Bush said he would do
That's
in
right.
2000 and Bill Clinton in 92. Every presidential candidate says the same thing. But now for the press, this issue of bipartisanship defines Obama, unlike previous new presidents.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing is there's no context. You know, when Ronald Reagan came in 1981, his signature economic legislation, he got lots of Democratic support. Bill Clinton in 93 got zero votes on his centerpiece economic package.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush, the Republican, got lots of Democratic support, and now Obama has gotten zero. That's a pattern that should be discussed and analyzed. Republicans in the last quarter century have shown virtually no willingness to work with a Democratic president. But we're told, but reporters are scratching their head, why can't Obama get this to happen? Why can't Obama get it to happen? If he took a half an inch step back, you would realize this is a completely predictable pattern.
Here's John in Carmel Valley. Go ahead, John. You're on the air with Peter B. and Eric Bullard.
Obama can't be absolved in this. It's not just the press. He set himself up for this. I mean, to seek them out to the degree he has is like trying to convert a dirt clod into a gold bar. This won't work at all, and he should know from the Clinton heritage, 8 years of Clinton fessing up, kissing up, throwing every hunk of meat he could in their direction, and all he got was kicked in the shins and worse. And
well, I refuse.
All over again.
John, I refuse to say I told you so, but I've been saying this for months.
Well,
when's he going to learn?
In terms of strategy, I mean, that's certainly a valid point, and I've heard other sort of Democrats and progressives saying the same thing, that Obama may have created this problem by going to going to Bill Kristol's house and going to the Capitol to meet Republicans. Usually, you know, they're invited to the White House. So I certainly hear that argument. But on the other side, what I would say is, you know, this points out all the things still doesn't treat it as a two-way street. Obama has made gesture after gesture, but this press is still sort of scratching its head, wondering why it's not working, and doesn't ask what Republicans have done.
Eric, I'm out of time.
Your point is a valid one. There are people who have watched Washington for a long time saying the same thing. What did he expect?
John, thank you for your call. Eric, I'm sorry, I got to run. I'm out of time. Eric Bollard from MediaMatters.org. Read him on the web. His column's fascinating this week. Up next, the known unknowns.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. It's no wonder nearly 3 million Americans are now having computed tomography, CT, heart scans, says CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook.
The cardiac CT scan, about $800, gives doctors clear 3D images of the coronary arteries without having to do invasive angiography.
Which is good, but there's always a but, isn't there?
But the test exposes patients to potentially harmful radiation. Exactly how much has been unclear, prompting an international study with a surprising result.
Cardiologist Thomas Gerber of the Mayo Clinic's Florida campus was the study's co-author.
We found that the scanner output varied approximately sixfold between the different imaging sites.
And on average, says Dr. LaPook,
on average, patients are getting radiation equal to about 600 chest x-rays.
And that's not good, as we'll explain after this. The most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you aren't seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this weekend. That's because this weekend, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared in time for Valentine's Day. Get set in diamonds this weekend for a reward worth up to $1,000. This weekend, only at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
What can happen if you get too big a dose of radiation in a cardiac CT scan? Or as Dr. LaPook asked Dr. Andrew Einstein of Columbia University Medical Center.
What are the radiation risks of this test?
The primary radiation risks are the possibility of developing lung cancer or breast cancer at some point subsequent to the test.
The government does not put any limit on the amount of radiation permissible in these scans. But you don't have to be an Einstein to know that's not good. What could and should be done besides that? The new study's co-author, Dr. Thomas Gerber.
Educating the medical community what they can and must do to decrease the radiation dose from the tests that they perform.
How much is too much? How many cardiac CTs is too many?
Every CT that we do in a risk in a patient that has very low risk and no symptoms, that's probably one too many.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Sometimes
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, after the secrecy years of Bush, Cheney, and Addington, the best disinfectant? A little bit of sunshine. I got a pocket full right here. Actually, these are cargo pants. I got a whole lot of sunshine. I'd share some, Barack. Sun Lee joins us this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's a reporter at the new nonprofit investigative journalism site called ProPublica, and their website, propublica.org. Chisoon, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Nice to talk with you, and you've got an impressive background. We've been talking for several years now with folks over at the Brennan Center at NYU, where you used to be counsel. Jonathan Haffetz jumped from there to the ACLU. He's been a frequent contributor on our program, and you also wrote for the Village Voice, picked up a law degree from Harvard, and did a journalism fellowship at Yale, too. So very nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
So Donald Rumsfeld had that phrase back there about the known knowns and the unknown unknowns, and I guess what we're going to delve into today is the known unknowns. And we're referring to a lot of the secret memos that drove policies, some of which I think were illegal, during the Bush era. And you've published a list at ProPublica. Pardon me, and I want people to see it. We'll give the direct URL in a moment. But you've been gathering information about the scope of legal opinions and other memoranda, some of which remain secret. In fact, most of them are still secret.
That's right. Well, we surveyed what is available in the public record right now, mainly in responses to freedom of information requests by advocacy groups such as the ACLU. In Bush administration responses to those requests, generally denying, refusing to turn over documents, they did list with some detail the kinds of legal opinions that were out there on all of the most controversial counterterrorism policies of the Bush administration, from enhanced interrogation to warrantless wiretapping.
Excuse me, I don't like that term, pardon me, but warrantless wiretapping assumes that somehow it's magically okay. At the time, it was illegal. It's been legalized retroactively by an act of Congress, but we know that when they started tapping phones, and some of it may have occurred actually before September 11th, that it was not only warrantless, it was illegal under the FISA law.
Well, that's certainly an opinion of many folks in the debate. But what ProPublica is doing right now is saying, as a preliminary matter, before folks can jump into what was legal or what was not legal, what was justified by circumstances or not, as a preliminary matter, let's see the grounds for the decisions that were made, you know, subject to national security concerns. Of course, many folks on both sides of the debate would say there are certain materials that should not be made public for real reasons of national security. That's granted. But I think that there's a lot of disagreement with the Bush administration's claims of secrecy and executive privilege that entire legal opinions, this is, you know, dozens and dozens, possibly hundreds of pages discussing their reasons for pursuing certain policies and their legal justifications for them. You know, many folks would say not all of those pages can be withheld on national security grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we at ProPublica are saying before we can jump in and come to public democratic judgments about what was done in the country's name for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
We should see these documents and begin to parse them and look at them and maybe compare the timing of some of the legal opinions to the timing of events that we now know about, and figure out what we as a democracy think about what happened. But it's impossible to do that now for a wide range of these programs, especially the warrantless wiretapping, or you may have a different term for it, because all of the Office of Legal Counsel opinions dealing with that program, also known as the terrorist surveillance program,
mm-hmm.
remain classified. We
yeah.
haven't seen any of them.
Yeah. Well, and I want to direct people to your website, ProPublica, it's one word, ProPublica, ProPublica.org, and then /special/missing-memos. And you can also find that link if you just look for the homepage link to the missing memos. But it is a very powerful list, and unfortunately, most of these documents do remain secret. So let's start off with the ones that have been made public, Jassoon, and share that with people, and then we'll take a look at some of the things that aren't out there. We know that John Yoo's memo from September of 2001, just a few weeks after 9/11, about executive power, has been made public. That one of his memos from November of 2001 regarding the Attorney General's authority to approve warrantless wiretapping has been made public. And let's see what else in the John Yoo file. He co-authored the first, a memo dated January 22, 2002, co-authored with Jay Bybee, now Judge Jay Bybee, on the Ninth Circuit here in San Francisco, regarding treaties and laws applying them to al-Qaeda and the Taliban detainees. That's public. A Jay Bybee memo on the POW status for Taliban fighters is public. A Bush memo on humane treatment of al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees is public. And there are just a few more here. Jay Bybee's redefinition of torture, dated August. Pardon me. August 1st of 02 is public, as is John Yoo's memo of the same date, which is titled Torture Can Be Prosecuted Only If There Was Specific Intent to Harm. And there's one more here that I see, a John Yoo memo that has been made public, dated March 14th of 03, that the Constitution doesn't apply to Gitmo and other offshore prisons. And from my survey of this list, that is the complete list of public memos from Yoo and Bybee, who were two of the early architects of the redefinitions that now are the legal signature of the Bush years.
That's right. I think you about got them. And I think that, you know, one of them that's been the subject of probably the most public debate about these legal memos is the August 2002 memo signed by Jay Bybee, who was the head of the Office of Legal Counsel at the time,
mm-hmm.
but sort of widely reported to have been authored by John Yoo, who was his deputy and is currently a law professor at the law school at UC Berkeley.
Yes, he is.
And this is the one that, you know, is sort of commonly described as having redefined the boundaries of interrogation before you get to the concept of torture in the opinion of this memo.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been famously discussed as sort of giving a definition for the threshold of pain that the target of interrogation would have to endure for the treatment to be illegal torture. And so this is where you see discussion of, you know, pain amounting to the experience of having organ failure and so forth. And I think that, you know, of course, that there are people who have very strong opinions about whether that's right or wrong or what that means, but we think that this is an interesting example of why it's important to have memos be disclosed, because this memo had been secret for 2 years while possibly practices were in effect based on this memo. We don't really know for sure. And then in 2004, the memo was leaked to the press shortly after the Abu Ghraib scandal was also broken to the press.
Mm-hmm.
And we see now that these were the legal opinions that costs, some people say, justify some of the treatment that we heard about. You know, others might disagree. But the point is that some legal experts, including some folks who now will be working for the Obama administration in this very Office of Legal Counsel, some legal experts wrote passionately at the time saying, this is the very reason these memos need to be made public. There's nothing in this memo that seems to amount to a state secret endangering national security, because here it is, it's out here. The administration is not, you know, up in arms about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a very controversial legal interpretation of an important definition of torture that reasonable minds can strongly disagree with. And so for these 2 years that the memo is withheld, the public was deprived of a healthy debate about whether legal or not, should the government of the U.S. be acting along these lines. That's a good example of what debates could have happened mm-hmm. had some of these legal opinions been released, and maybe some debates that will happen once and if they are.
Chi-San Lee is with us, a reporter with the new independent website, ProPublica.org. And has your article been published? ProPublica often partners with other news outlets to distribute this. Has yours gotten wide distribution?
It's been linked very generously and widely all over the web. I think that people, this is one of the things that, you know, just the general public is really hungry to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I think when the Bush administration was wrapping up its time, and principals, including former President Bush and former Vice President Dick Cheney, were doing their television interviews sort of bidding farewell to the country. A theme that recurred in their remarks was, you know, in responding to some journalists pressing them on, well, how do you feel about the disapproval of interrogation techniques? A common refrain was, well, what we did was legal. You might disagree with us politically, but what we did was legal, and we had the legal opinions that said, and this is a quote from President Bush to Larry King at CNN, I got legal opinions that said whatever we're going to do is legal. So this claim of legality is a very powerful one in this country, because it's a nation based on the rule of law. That's the one end-all be-all, and I think that the general public is curious to know if they're going to claim that powerful claim of legality. Well, let's see it. Let's see the opinions that justified the administration's policies, according to them.
Well, and I think Bush was channeling Nixon there and thinking, well, when the president does it, it's not illegal, no matter what the president does. Chi-San, let me ask you about two entries here near the top of your chart. They appear to be unsigned opinions from Deputy Assistant Attorneys General. One is dated September 25th, the other October 4th, both 2001. And this was the time when you and Bybee were in the OLC office. These, of course, are memos that you show still secret. So do we know anything more about them, including who actually wrote them?
No, at this point, we know very little. I mean, we put as much detail as we could responsibly say is available into this chart. So if you click through, readers will see some detail, but a lot of it is just very vague information, again, provided in response to FOIA litigation by the ACLU and other great organizations. The government responses were essentially, we cannot release this for various reasons of national security or agency privilege or so forth, but courts generally require someone refusing to disclose information to say with some specificity what the thing is that they're refusing to disclose.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can't make a blanket claim of we don't have to tell you anything.
Yeah.
So this is as much as could be gleaned. But I do know the ACLU attorney, Melissa Goodman, who specializes in surveillance and national security, was telling me that many of these memos seem to her to have to do with the scope of warrantless wiretapping, what the administration thought was permissible. And most interestingly to me, one of these secret memos discusses, she thinks, the possible uses of intelligence gathered through the warrantless wiretapping program, something that has been very little discussed publicly because we don't know very much about it. What what was happening with the data collected, what, mm-hmm. if anything. And she suggested that, you know, of course she doesn't know because she hasn't seen the memos, but she wonders if there could be issues with criminal prosecutions or immigration proceedings that happened possibly using some information, mm-hmm. gathered through these means.
There are other possible nefarious uses, like using it against political figures to prevent them from opposing the president on a given issue or two. And I want to point out that this is a very interesting list of information. You show the source of the thread that suggests to you that this memo exists, and it came from a declaration by Deputy Assistant Attorney General Steve Bradbury, and it was in a lawsuit back in June of 2007. So that's an interesting source for this particular thread, and I think it will be interesting to see when we can learn more about it. Also, Tuesday night, I haven't seen it yet, but I taped it, there was a PBS Nova special based in part on James Bamford's work investigating the NSA. Shadow Factory is the name of his powerful book. And it does what Bamford shows is that they've collected everything. We just don't know what they've done with it. So they got all my emails and all my phone calls. Have they actually listened to them and read them? That we don't know. But they have the capability. We'll take a break and return with reporter Chi-Sun Lee from ProPublica.org. Visit the website there and follow this interesting story with the database that they are creating and updating regularly. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Ponce, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
The Otters are coming home to their kelp bed this weekend to tangle with Humboldt on Friday and Sonoma on Saturday, 7:30 p.m. on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831 831- 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, trying to put a little sunlight on the darkness, the secrecy of the Bush era. We're talking with journalist Chi-San Lee from ProPublica.org. ProPublica.org is the new independent nonprofit journalism website. And this just came in about an hour ago from the ACLU. And it suggests that the Obama administration is backing or keeping the lid on some of the secret activities of the Bush years. A British high court has ruled that the evidence of a British resident's extraordinary rendition and torture at Guantanamo Bay must remain secret because of threats made back by the Bush administration to halt intelligence sharing if the British release that. And it now appears that the Obama administration told the BBC in a written statement, "The United States thanks the UK government for its continued commitment to protect sensitive national security information and preserve the long-standing intelligence-sharing relationship that enables both countries to protect their citizens." Now, when you read between the euphemisms, they're basically thanking the court for keeping the lid on the secrecy of the Bush years. Do you have any comment on this, Chi-San?
Well, I have to say I don't know anything specifically about what you just described from today.
Mm-hmm.
So I really can't comment on that case.
Okay. Well, we're inviting an ACLU spokesperson to join us later in the program, and we'll get more commentary on that if they're able to join us.
Sure. I do know, though, that a number of folks, especially human rights advocates and civil liberties advocates, are very eager to see what positions the Obama administration will be taking in ongoing litigation that the Bush administration left behind on all sorts of matters having to do with the, quote, war on terror, including rendition cases where detainees have mounted various legal challenges and some of the so-called telecom immunity cases where people who believe they've been subjected to surveillance or other what they would call privacy violations sued the private telecom companies, sort of because that's one of the only legal routes to trying to find out what actually happened to them. And the Bush administration had taken very strong positions in most of these cases, refusing to turn over information and asking courts to dismiss the cases on essentially national security grounds because any evidence wouldn't be, you know, they couldn't turn it over, they said, because of national security reasons.
There's one crack. Judge Vaughn Walker here in San Francisco has ruled at least partly in favor of the lawyers for the Islamic charities who once had proof that they were illegally surveilled. The proof was inadvertently delivered to them by the FBI, and on instructions they gave it back. But they found a quote from an FBI executive who acknowledged that group had been wiretapped. And so Judge Walker has taken the unusual step of ordering security clearances for the attorneys so that they can review classified information themselves. It's going to take a long time, but that's an interesting possibility in terms of blowing open some of these secrecy
sure.
issues.
Yeah. And I think folks that sometimes overlook the important role that individual courts play in some of these disputes. I mean, it's not just what the government says goes, but of course, every court has a responsibility to look at the merits of each case and make those sorts of individualized determinations.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm particularly offended by the expanded use of the state secret privilege, not a statute, but just a court precedent that was used to gag Sybil Edmonds and to silence others who had things to say that were defined as national security risks, but in my view were simply embarrassments to the Bush administration.
Well, the Bush administration did advance a fairly novel spin on the state secrets argument. The state secrets privilege had previously been asserted mainly sort of on a document-by-document basis, sort of we can't turn over X piece of evidence because it's subject to state secrets privilege. Mm-hmm. But the Bush administration, as it's been explained to me by various lawyers in some of these cases, the Bush administration had taken a much more aggressive blanket approach with the state secrets argument, saying the case just has to judge, you must dismiss this case entirely because there are just so many state secrets involved that we can't even have this case going forward. And that was an unusually sort of aggressive version of the argument.
Well, Chi-San, I want to thank you for your work. Thanks for explaining it to us today. And I want to direct people to the website, ProPublica.org. She spells her name, first name, C-H-I-S-U-N, Chi-San Lee. And you've done a great job starting here. Don't stop. Let's check back in a few months and see how you're doing in terms of cracking open some of these secrets.
Well, thanks so much. I enjoyed being with you.
My pleasure. We're going to take a break and return. Tony Lent, the Managing Director of U.S. Renewables, is going to join us to talk about the business view on the green economy. And if you have a question or comment, you can bring it on. You know the number, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Also next hour, we'll take a look at the Republican resistance to Buy American in the stimulus.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The price of a bailout? Executive sacrifice.
We're taking the air out of golden parachutes.
The SEC gets skewered on Capitol Hill.
You couldn't find your backside with two hands if the lights were on.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama, who called big Wall Street bonuses shameful, will take a pound of flesh from now on when distressed financial firms get help from Washington. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
The president is clapping a $500,000 limit on annual pay for top executives at the most troubled companies receiving federal bailout money.
In order to restore trust, we've got to make certain the taxpayer funds are not subsidizing excessive compensation packages on Wall Street.
Mr. Obama said the unprecedented government intervention is a response to public anger over, as he put it, executives being rewarded for failure. The president describes the pay limits as a first step in a plan that will set sweeping new rules for what's left of the $700 billion federal bailout fund. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Mr. Obama has stepped up the pressure on Congress for quick action on a stimulus plan. He says delay will turn crisis into a catastrophe. At the same time, the administration is preparing Congress for another request. Paul Volcker, chairman of the president's Economic Recovery Advisory Board, told senators today that it's going to cost lots more billions of dollars. Now this.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Every month we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like GEICO's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. GEICO.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy squeezy lemon peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
The Securities and Exchange Commission was raked over the coals on Capitol Hill today. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Investigator Harry Mark Coppolis called the SEC incompetent for ignoring his tips about Bernie Madoff.
The SEC continues to roar like a mouse and fight like a flea.
Lori Richards defended the agency.
The SEC cannot examine every investment advisor on a routine frequency.
But Democrat Paul Kanjorski wasn't satisfied.
You know, I like oatmeal, and that's about how I classify the testimony I heard today.
And Democrat Gary Ackerman was even more direct.
You've told us nothing.
He pressed SEC officials in anger.
How did you screw up?
But they refused to answer while the case is under investigation. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Looks like it was a bird strike that forced U.S. Airways Flight 1549 to ditch in New York's Hudson River. Federal investigators say they found the remains of birds in both engines, and they've determined that an earlier problem with one of the engines had been fixed. CBS News correspondent Katie Couric interviewed the crew for this Sunday's 60 Minutes. Captain Sully Sullenberger told her he was just in the right place at the right time.
Of course, I said, do you feel like there was a higher power at work here? Because he said circumstance brought him together. I said, he said, you know, he just thought he was doing his job and was doing something he was trained for. And I said, did you at any moment pray? He said, no, I had plenty of other people doing that for me.
All 155 people aboard survived. Another signing ceremony at the White House.
I've been practicing on signing the 810.
President Obama signed the bill that extends health insurance to 4 million poor children, paid for with an increase in the tobacco tax. Soon to be signed, a bill that cleared Congress today, delaying the transition to all digital television until June 12th. It was supposed to happen this month. Baseball star Barry Bonds is facing trial on charges he lied under oath when he said he'd never knowingly taken performance-enhancing drugs. The government revealed some of its case today, and CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has had a look.
In 2001, Barry Bonds captured the attention of the sports world. Bonds hit 73 home runs to break the single-season home run mark. In documents released by the court, the government claims it has evidence that Bonds tested positive that same year for steroids. The documents also show the government plans to call several current or former major leaguers to testify for the prosecution.
Bonds' lawyers are trying to have the evidence suppressed. The price of oil slipped to $40.23 a barrel today. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, I'm the foreman of a construction company. We just added Aflac as one of the benefits we provide for our employees at no direct cost to the company. Aflac makes our foundation of benefits even stronger. My crew is so happy with Aflac, they're going on and on about it.
Hammer out the specifics. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to AflacForBusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Jared. Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $40 to $1,200.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, Robert Borisov comments on the Republican resistance to a Buy American clause in the stimulus package. Tony Lenn will give us a business view of the green economy. For rolling with the Peter B. Carpool. Sure, go ahead, use the diamond lane. And say, Collins was here a minute ago. I don't know where he went. Before we dive into our discussion about the emerging green economy in this country, some serious news breaking off the coast of Gaza. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know that I support the human rights of the Palestinian residents of Gaza. We also support the efforts of the Free Gaza Movement, and they are once again attempting to bring in doctors and humanitarian supplies to Gaza via sea. And the boat called Tali, T-A-L-I, departed from Cyprus about 9 hours ago and has been intercepted by two Israeli helicopters and two Israeli gunboats. And according to an account that I have here, Israelis have told the captain of Tali that he cannot go to Gaza, and they've told him they will sink the boat if he proceeds. So far, he has refused to turn around. He's told them he's responsible for his boat, and he's going to Gaza. They said the boat can't go to Gaza, and it appears they will try to force it to Arish. But the captain intends to push forward, and that's as much as we know right now. You probably are aware that two previous attempts were also rebuffed by Israeli forces. In one case, they rammed the Free Gaza boat, claiming that it had rammed them, although international journalists, including a CNN reporter, gave the story the way the Free Gaza movement tells it. And more recently, we were attempting to reach the boat as it was making a crossing, and it was intercepted by Israeli gunboats, and even though they were in international waters, they forced the Free Gaza boat back. So if it breaks any further during our broadcast, we will update you, and I suggest you go to freegaza.org, and you can get the latest information. They include a Google map, which when you click on, shows that their boat is clearly in international waters. Tony Lent joins me now. He's the managing director of U.S. Renewables, and he has an interesting background. He's an investment banker, got his MBA at UC Berkeley, and he has co-founded and led EA Capital, which is a boutique investment bank in the clean energy space. Tony, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to talk with you, and I have a trick question just to see how green you are.
Sure.
Is there any case that the term clean and coal should be used in the same sentence?
Wow, that is a really hard question. I think it really depends on how coal gasification plays out over the next 10 years, mm-hmm. particularly on the carbon capture and storage side.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, the technology is at hand to make the traditional emissions extremely low or near zero, but the carbon dioxide is still a big problem, and mm-hmm. we use about 51% of our electricity comes from coal.
Nationally, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's the largest or second largest source of our carbon dioxide emissions, depending on how you measure it.
Right. And the
ash spill
in Tennessee that occurred just before Christmas is an ugly reminder of the extraction process and also the byproducts that are produced when we burn coal to generate electricity. And that I hope that ash incident is something that we learn from and prevent it from occurring in the future. But you did pretty well on my trick question. Thank you. Tell us about E2, Environmental Entrepreneurs. You are a member of this group.
Thanks for asking. Yes, I am. In fact, while I'm a managing director of U.S. Renewables Group, a private equity fund, I'm here tonight speaking on behalf of E2. E2 is a national group of business leaders who strongly believe that basically sound environmental and energy policy go hand in hand with strong economic growth.
And this is refreshing because so much of what we hear from corporate America is either in the form of denial or obstruction to really confronting the issues that we face. Climate change and our carbon emissions are essential parts of that, but we also have a whole array of energy and resource issues that we need to contend with. And business in many ways has been too narrowly focused on its self-interest short term instead of the broader interest, including its own interest long term. Would you agree?
I think that's partially true. I mean, if you look, if you peel the onion a few layers, you'll find that there are actually a lot of very large corporations in the United States that have been pro renewables and pretty positively disposed towards climate change regulation and cap and trade.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's uniform across the country.
Yeah. So as we're attempting to dig our way out of the economic mess and also address critical environmental issues, many people talk about a green economy And it's something that almost everybody can embrace, but it's not very well defined. I was at a community meeting here in the Bay Area last night where they were talking about a Green New Deal, which is an attempt to take the environmental initiatives and the economic recovery issues and address them in a manner that's consistent with the interests of working families. And these are complex issues, and it's hard to address every aspect of them. But tell me what your thoughts are of the opportunities that we have right now as we're trying to regroup and stimulate our economy to get out of a huge recession that could become a depression. And do you see these opportunities, and how do you define this vision of a green economy, Tony?
Well, let me back up and talk a little bit about the clean energy industry, which is the industry I know best as part of the whole green economy, and say that people are talking about this now like a new thing, but we've actually gone through about four investment cycles in clean energy and green technology over the last 25 years. So we're benefiting from a long trend towards lower carbon energy sources. In fact, you'd be surprised to know that around the world last year, more than $150 billion was invested in clean energy, making up about 20% of global investment in energy, which is a lot bigger number than most people probably think of.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, another bright spot is that clean tech venture capital investing, which really got a lot of momentum coming out of California, already represents one of the largest and fastest growing segments of venture capital investment in the United States and around the world.
Yeah, there's a VC named Vinod Khosla who's got money in something like 38 or 39 different green startups.
I think it's a little bit more than that, but
okay.
But certainly Vinod and a number of other Valley firms have played a significant leadership role. But what's interesting about that from the perspective of the economy is the job creation side of it. And if you look at investment in clean energy technologies, that investment has been averaging about $5 to $7 billion per year. And over a four-year period, it looks like it's going to be generating about 600,000 new jobs. About 300,000 has already been created, and another 300,000 are slated for the next couple of years. If you look at that over a 10-year period, that's 1.5 million jobs just from the venture capital investment in clean energy, not including later stage investment, not including project equity investment. Given that the Obama administration's goal is creating 5 million new jobs in clean energy over the next 10 years, that's a pretty significant portion that's already happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tony, yesterday we were talking with Phil Angelides. He's the former state treasurer of California, and he's now the executive director of the Apollo Alliance. Mm-hmm. What is your attitude toward Apollo and its business-labor alliance? Do you see that as a good working model?
Absolutely.
And what are you attracted to? Do you think that we really can dovetail the interests of management and organized labor?
You know, I'm not an expert on labor, so I really can't opine on that. But I think, generally speaking, it's they're not in opposition from my perspective.
Mm-hmm. And who do you see as the early cadres, if you will, or who will be part of this green energy economy? You're talking about the money that's in place, the investment, and that leads to startup companies or expansion of existing companies. And where are we headed next? Is it into further technology development? Are we ready to hire people to deploy and install renewable energy systems and projects?
Well, I think, you know, what's interesting is that we've actually already been installing. For instance, if you take a look at investment in the wind industry in the last couple of years, it's been growing at 30 to 50% per year. We actually installed 8,000 megawatts last year, and leading states like Texas, Iowa, and California. So that's a pretty significant infrastructure investment. Many tens of thousands of jobs are created with that. We're seeing the same story play out in the solar industry. We're probably about to see the same story play out in geothermal in the western states like Nevada, California, and Oregon. So I think in many respects, we're already building out that infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I think the stimulus package will really help that as well. If you look at the whole package, about 10% of the programs and the funding is directed toward clean energy in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tremendous amount of investment.
Now, let me ask you about one thing, and this may be more peculiar to California, but we have this Austrian-born action movie star playing governor. And on the one hand, he has championed AB 32, which is landmark legislation to try to cut our carbon emissions, try to reduce our dependence on carbon-based fuels. And he certainly has a vision. And at the very same time, he's confronting a huge fiscal crisis here in the state, and he is pushing for what he calls streamlining of environmental regulations, particularly as it pertains to expanding solar and wind technology. And that strikes me as contradictory, because if we rush to build these renewable resource projects and we cut corners on environmental rules and even things like the Endangered Species Act, I feel like, you know, we're cutting off a nose to spite our face.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things here, one of which is a bill that basically makes California a world leader in climate change legislation, and the other is basically curtailing some programs that are more technology-focused. I think what you have to appreciate, which is, I think, not well understood, is the U.S. is already a worldwide leader in clean energy technology. In fact, we wind up exporting a lot of that technology already, and we have a tremendous amount of technology that's ready to be deployed. What's interesting to us in the investment community about the global warming bill in California is that it sets the stage for federal global warming policy, and that we think is remarkable and very, very helpful.
All right, let's talk about that more. We'll take a break. Tony Lent is with us. He is managing director of the U.S. Renewables Group, and he is a member of E2, Environmental Entrepreneurs. Their website is simple, e2.org. That's the letter E, the number 2.org. You got a question or comment? Bring it on now. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Is your child misunderstood? Are you frustrated with the medical and educational systems? Do others misinterpret the energy of your child? Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Through the power of intuition, I can help you. Schedule a session to learn more. Sign up for my newsletter to receive free information every month. Educate yourself through my books and articles. Visit intuitiveteachings.com or call me, Jennifer Cruz, at 831-233-8388.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times, we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Santa Cruz on the northbound one, just south of Larkin Valley Road, there are three deer eating grass on the right shoulder. Look out for them. They may wander into traffic. Making our way over to the Hollister-Gilroy area, on the northbound 101 at Monterey Road, there is a pedestrian in the roadway, so use caution there. Now here's the latest weather forecast. It's mostly cloudy throughout the Tri-County area, with a little bit of sun peeking out in some parts. We have highs in the mid-60s and lows in the upper 50s. For tonight, expect rain and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Right now in Monterey, it's 61 degrees. In Salinas, it's 60 degrees. In Santa Cruz, it's 64 degrees. That's your KRXA traffic and weather report. Have a great afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming.
It's the PBC show.
Sensible amenities like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. A spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbon strip away.
Thank you, Dr. Elmo. He's doing for climate change what he did to Christmas.
Our temperatures are rising, I live now.
Yeah, making songs that people enjoy. Tony Lent is with us. He's managing director of the U.S. Renewables Group. That's a boutique capital firm. And he is also affiliated with Environmental Entrepreneurs, as we mentioned. Their website has a simple address, e2.org, e2.org. Tony, one of the things that is really critical here is we try to bring energy produced from renewable resources to consumers, is that our grid is not up to speed. It's not ready in a number of ways in terms of capacity and also point-to-point destinations where, for example, if we produce a lot of solar power in the Mojave Desert or a lot of wind power in the Altamont Pass, getting that to the actual consumers is a critical issue. Senator President Obama mentioned that in his inaugural address, and I was pleased to hear that. What do you see as the needed investment to bring our grid up to speed to be able to deliver green-based power in the future?
Well, I can't give you an exact figure. That's a number that would be hard to estimate. But I can tell you that the stimulus package does include about $11 billion for smart grid projects around the country, which primarily are oriented towards things like time-of-day pricing that allows consumers to receive direct signals about what their electricity costs so they can respond to demand appropriately,
mm-hmm.
and also allows them to basically sell renewable electricity back into the grid, which is a huge thing.
Yes, it is.
10 states have already got that in place. 41 states have some type of net metering program in place. So we're on the way.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to the grid infrastructure itself, transmission extension, in that realm, it looks to us as if the states are leading at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the states that's done a great job on that is Texas, where they're basically already putting in about $5 billion to expand their wind in such a way that California can actually buy that electricity when Texas isn't. So they're far along. California
mm-hmm.
is also about a year behind Texas in developing a grid expansion program as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's Tim in Marina, California, listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Tim. You're on the air.
Well, hello, Peter. I had a question about jobs in the growing green economy. Is there going to be expansion of new jobs, new trades, or are they just going to become extensions of trades that already exist?
All right. Good question, Tony. What do you see?
I think it's a good question as well. I mean, we've lost about 2.7 million jobs during the recession so far. We're adding between 150 and 200,000 jobs a year just from the venture capital investment in clean energy. If you look at the infrastructure side, you know, what you're seeing basically is a transition of skills. You know, the folks that install wind turbines right now are the same guys that were building power plants in other parts of the country at another time. The same iron workers that were building infrastructure in the Midwest have moved out to the Plain State. So I do think you see basically an extension and an expansion of existing skill base.
Okay, Tim, thank you for that question. And about a minute remaining, Tony, what is your sense of how long it will take to put a workable cap-and-trade scheme into effect?
I'm glad you asked the question. This is something that's really important from ET's perspective. And we were happy to see that Barbara Boxer announced this week that she's going to try to put legislation in front of the Capitol Hill in the next couple of weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously a move in the right direction. How long will it take to actually get that to be hammered out? It's anyone's guesstimate, but I would not be at all surprised if it took 2 to 4 years to get it done.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see as the key benefits of putting that in place?
Well, there are two major benefits. I think the most important one we need to think about and keep our eyes on is climate change itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to start sending signals that allow us to lower our carbon emissions. And as the largest carbon emitter in the world, that's an important thing to do. From a business perspective, it's really great because it basically prices CO2 or prices this pollution and allows capital to move towards the most efficient technologies and businesses that lower those emissions.
And clean coal will be a lot more expensive under a cap-and-trade program. Tony, thank you very much for joining us. A pleasure to talk with you, and I want people to go to the website e2.org and find out more about environmental entrepreneurs. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Now we know why Tom Daschle had to go. This is Dave Ross. Why? Because today the president announced pay cuts for CEOs of bailed out firms.
Companies receiving federal aid are going to have to disclose publicly all the perks and luxuries bestowed upon senior executives and provide an explanation.
Luxuries like limousines with drivers, the very luxury Mr. Daschle was so slow to pay taxes on. No wonder Mr. Obama didn't try to save him. But here's the strange thing. Mr. Obama wouldn't even try to save himself.
Do you feel you messed up in letting him get this far?
Yes. He admitted screwing up. He admitted it on CNN. He admitted it on CBS.
I think I messed up. I screwed up.
And then he took responsibility on CNN.
I don't want to send a message to the American people that there are two sets of standards.
Took responsibility on CBS.
This is the problem when you make these self-inflicted wounds. You end up being distracted from really the people's business.
I'm expecting him to call my show any minute.
Well, I think this was a mistake.
But seriously, he has a lot to learn about being president, don't you think?
I guess I'd like to know if you feel in any way that you failed as a communicator on this topic.
I don't know. See, that's more like it. That way you don't see headlines like the one we saw this morning. Obama, I screwed up. When you're asked, did you make a mistake?
No, I don't want to sound like I've made no mistakes. I'm confident I have. Maybe I'm not as quick on my feet as I should be in coming up with one.
Thank goodness there are still some politicians who get it.
Hijacking of a governor elected twice by the people without proving any wrongdoing.
See, that's more like it.
I did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong.
Now this.
Hey, I'm Pete, owner of Pete's Precious Pets. Wife named it. Anyhow, I used to take care of all my finances on spreadsheets. The system kind of worked, but it took forever, made it hard to tend to the customers and the animals. Anyway, everyone I knew was using Intuit QuickBooks, so I gave it a try. And now I know why it's the best-selling small business financial software, because it tracks all my sales a lot easier and faster than I ever could. Which is good, because the parents were learning a lot of words I can't repeat here.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
God spoke to me today. He said, Reverend Bob, I want you to go down there to the Quumba, and I want you to tell them that God wants them to mail Reverend Dickie Bob a check.
And just sign it at the bottom. God will tell me how to fill out the rest.
That's right. That sin in your body. That is, son, I can look up inside you like a consecrated colonoscopy. I can see a sin in your body that wants to make love to an inflatable woman. Be making love to a balloon. Oh, believe me, afterwards, every hair on your body is just pointing straight at her.
Reverend Dickie Bob here with a minute from planetcruise.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Is it protectionism? Is it isolationism to say that American taxpayer dollars used to bail out the bunglers on Wall Street should be spent in America on Americans? I mean, I'm not Pat Buchanan, am I? No, I'm not. And it feels better already.
I've been in the cave for 40 days. Only a spark to light my way. I want to give out. I want to give in. This is our crime, this is our sin, but I still believe, through the pain, and through the grief, through the lies, through the storm, through the cries, and through the wars.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is prompted by a listener's call and email yesterday. Chris from Salinas forwarded me an article blog posted at ourfuture.org from David Sirota about this flap, as Republicans are resisting Democratic values here regarding the stimulus bill and whether there should be an America by America clause in there. Bob Borisage is the co-director, co-founder of the Campaign for America's Future, and their website, which is chock full of great commentary and information and activism, is ourfuture.org. Bob, welcome back to the show today.
Good evening. Good to see you.
Good to talk with you, and kudos to Sirota. I saw his post yesterday, and then I think I got it from six different people in the last 24 hours. So this is an issue that really provokes strong feelings, and we got to frame this against the way the Republicans are operating. We have Obama trying to reach across the aisle. I'm holding my nose over this Judd Gregg Commerce Secretary thing because we didn't even get anything for it. I mean, I thought there was a good sneaky backroom deal there.
It's worse than that. You know, we got a blue state, a Democratic governor, and the condition was that he'd pick a Republican.
Yeah. It really is. Somebody's got to go back to the Chicago School of Politics on that one. At any rate, Bob, the Republicans are pretty effective in a minority role right now as an obstructionist element. They gave up zero votes in the House, and they're actually proud of that. And now in the Senate, these same people who wrote blank checks for Bush on anything he wanted and didn't bat an eye about the deficits that were run and the borrowing that occurred to support the tax cuts and the Iraq war, all of a sudden they're so parsimonious, and they're really concerned about overreaching on the stimulus, and tax cuts are the only thing they'll agree to. And now they're saying that, and this, of course, is the party that wants to seal up every inch of our border, they're now saying that it's bad for American business to include a Buy America clause in this stimulus package.
Yeah, no, the performance of Republicans, which has really simply been partisan over any kind of sense of patriotism, there is it's as if they don't get how serious this crisis is. And so they're playing party games and trying to make political points when the country's in dire straits and needs people to come together and get something done. It's been really disgraceful, I think.
Mm-hmm. So what are the issues here? In your view, this idea of including a Buy America element simply makes sense because it's our money and we're trying to correct the damage that's been done to our economy. So if we start throwing money and it can be, you know, fungibly transferred to other governments or to companies in other parts of the world, that just seems to defeat the purpose.
Yeah, exactly. We're about to borrow, you know, nearly $1 trillion to try to get the economy going and to put people back to work and to keep our economy from sinking into a depression. And taxpayers are going to have to take on that debt. It's the right thing to do. You've got to do it. Otherwise, it'll be much worse. But the notion that you're going to take on that debt and then use the money to buy steel from Germany simply doesn't make sense. And this isn't a question of kind of we're violating the rules of global trade. In fact, it doesn't violate the rules of the WTO even.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't a stark departure from current practice in a whole range of areas in terms of government procurement. And, you know, it just makes sense across the world. Taxpayers aren't going to want their money to be used directly to benefit workers in other countries and companies in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's about it, though, that I think is quite has been missed in the debate, which is part of the reason we're in this crisis is because of this massive imbalance in trade.
Yeah.
The United States has been running these unsustainable deficits, serving as the consumer for the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. The Walmart deficit.
Exactly. And the rest of the China and all these surplus nations, Germany, Japan, many of the Asian tigers, have built their economies around shipping us goods and loaning us the money to buy them. Well, that world has helped to lead to this crisis. And part of the Buy America stuff is putting the rest of the world on notice that we're not going back to that. We're not going to use our stimulus plan to lift up the entire world. We're going to use it to lift up our economy. And Germany and China and Japan and all these other nations have to increase consumption and do their own stimulus plan in their own countries to lift up their economies. And that is, in fact, the only way this is going to work, is if everybody lifts together and we get the global economy moving together. But it's really important, I think, as a matter of the future, not just a matter of this current crisis, that we make this statement to people that old world is over and it's time for them to help share the burden and the need to create the demand that makes the global economy work.
Now, Bob, I don't consider myself an isolationist. I do believe in selective protectionism, and I define that as the concept of fair trade as contrasted with free trade. How do you characterize Barack Obama? I really can't quite define him. He seems to be leaning primarily into the free trade side of the story, but he also has enough ties to labor and certainly recognizes the wreckage to the working families of America that has been imposed on us by the policies of the last 8 years. So where do you think Obama really is in terms of that fair trade, free trade dynamic?
I think where he really is feeling his way, frankly. I think he understands. He comes from Illinois. He's worked organizing the neighborhoods devastated by you know, these trade deals.
The steel industry in particular, the south side of Chicago was devastated when the steel mills in southern Chicago and right across the border in Gary, Indiana, hit the skids about 15, 20 years ago.
Right. So he understands both that agony and how you can't continue down that line. On the other hand, this is a guy who is educated at Harvard Law School, and he's celebrated in Wall Street and supported significantly by Wall Street finance, and has surrounded himself with appointees that helped sculpt Clinton's free trade policies in the Clinton administration. So he's clearly got a leg in that other camp, too. And I think he's been pretty careful to not allow himself to be defined yet. I think what's important, though, and that's part of what this argument's about, is we have to, in the process of this recovery from the ruins of the old economy, we have to build the new economy. And it's got to be different. It has to. We have to make structural reforms so we don't try to go back to an economy which was based on stagnant or declining wages and high consumption, you know, with the difference spanned by increasing levels of debt.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't go back there. And so I think Obama understands that big problem. And part of changing that is getting our trade into better balance and getting the rest of the world to understand that they've got to start generating some of the demand that makes the world go round. They can't just depend on American consumers.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody in the inner circle there on the economy and international trade who you would define as a progressive? I was hoping Javier Becerra was going to be named as the trade representative, but it went to Ron Kirk, a conservative Democrat, a DLC guy, former mayor of Dallas, if I got that right. Is there anybody, you know, whispering fair trade in his into his BlackBerry?
Well, it's not in the formal appointment, certainly. Larry Summers, obviously, the head of the NEC, the National Economic Council, is not there. Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, is not there. Jared Bernstein out of the Economic Policy Institute is in Biden's office as his chief of staff for the new Middle Class Commission. And it may be that out of the Biden office comes this voice that gets into the president's ear from close range.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I think that's important. He, you know, he talked about how he didn't want to be in the bubble and captive to those who are inside it with him. But I really believe that these are critical issues. And let's zoom out a little bit to talk about, once again, you and I have discussed this before, Obama's desire for this post-partisanship. And I really think that we're seeing, unfortunately, a replay of the Clinton stimulus package, which was much smaller. And, of course, the problems were not as great. But in early 93, he called it an investments package. And every way he tried to reshape it with an extension of unemployment benefits and infrastructure investments, he was blocked. And even some Democrats either opposed it or were kind of hung out to dry when Clinton got them to support it. And I don't feel this is an exact replay, but some of the elements here are too similar, that we have a new president who is trying to get beyond the partisan evils of Washington and is going to pay dearly for it.
Well, and, you know, there's no question Republicans are running the same playbook. So if you remember, one of the ways they went after the Clinton stimulus was they isolated a thing that would give some money to help create basketball courts that were lit in the inner city. So
midnight
basketball.
Midnight basketball,
midnight
Jones.
Basketball, right?
Yeah.
It was mocked across the country.
Mm-hmm.
As the boondoggle. Well, Republicans have run that playbook on, you know, sod in the mall and their various things they've tried to isolate to demonstrate that there's lots of pork and stupidity in this bill. The difference, however, is the crisis is, you know, a fundamental crisis. We have an economy which is not only in a downturn, that downturn is accelerating and it's going global.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have time for these kinds of games. They have got to get something done and something done big. And thus far, the Republican position, which is the program ought to be smaller and it ought to have more tax cuts and less spending.
Bob, that's fast acting tax cuts like Alka-Seltzer.
Well, both of those will make the program weaker.
Right.
It's smaller. It's already too small, in my view.
Yeah.
And it already has too many tax cuts in it.
Well, the only tax cuts that I can support are Obama's pledged middle-class tax cuts, and the one thing, I believe it's a Republican proposal, but I'll embrace it anyway, the idea of actually reducing withholding so that a paycheck is fattened as soon as that takes effect. That puts money in people's wallets that will get spent.
Yeah, we hope. Although, you know, we tried the rebates last spring, and about 20% of the money got spent. The rest, people sensibly used to pay down debt or to sock away.
I bought lottery tickets.
Exactly. that would help.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Republican position on this is counterproductive in both ends of it, and is really an ideological position that's ignoring crisis. You know, McCain put out a thing saying, let's cut this thing in half and have a $400 billion stimulus. Well, that's, you know, really, it's like he's not in the world that we're living in and not facing the reality of the depths of the unemployment. We lost 2.8 million jobs last year.
Yeah, just since he suspended his campaign.
So we don't have the luxury of this kind of politics. And I hope that, thus far, Rush Limbaugh and the right have generated this firestorm of right-wing phone calls to the Congress saying, kill the bill. And it's emboldened these Republicans who I think are misreading the public dramatically. And I hope that we, this radio show and other things, get people to call into the Congress and tell them to wake up and move, and move with a big and bold program, not whittle this thing down.
Yeah. And we also cannot allow the Republicans to call these shots and, you know, pull out family planning because they don't like it, and then pull out $50 piddling million for the NEA that would trickle down to working artists all around the country and help preserve performing arts groups and nonprofits. We did a segment on this yesterday, and it is a meaningful investment, but it's being targeted and ridiculed, and even Claire McCaskill said she wants to pull it out because it's become a target of ridicule. And the Democrats have to stand firm and say, look, there are only so many ways we can spend money that will stimulate the economy. Sit down and shut up. And you had your turn. You wrecked the economy. We're not going to let you behind the wheel. We will listen to you. We'll listen to your amendments. But I just believe that Obama has gone too far in featuring the Republicans, and we have very little to show for it so far.
I agree with that completely.
Bob, I got to take a break. We'll resume in just a moment with Robert Borisage from the Campaign for America's Future. And he mentioned Midnight Basketball, and I just happened to find Chris Rock and Barry White. We'll continue on the PBC show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We have a traffic hazard with no further details in Carmel Valley on Carmel Valley Road at Dorsch Drive.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Brandon Hirsch. Our top item today, joining Republican senators, Fox News hosts repeat the false assertion that the stimulus bill will provide over $4 billion to community organizing group Acorn. Here's Fox Business correspondent Elizabeth McDonald.
I mean, it's not a stimulus bill, it's a spending bill. It's $4.1 billion for activist groups like Acorn. We're talking, we need job creation. What's the multiplier effect of such spending here?
The bill, however, does not mention Acorn at all. In actuality, the bill allocates $4.19 billion to neighborhood stabilization activities that'll be determined through competitive processes. Fox News is also falsely claiming that the stimulus package will provide money to undocumented workers. Here's Laura Ingram.
Illegal aliens are going to get money under this bill if that provision
is not changed. Well, if that happens, then it'll be a major scandal. We'll see.
In fact, all tax credits within the stimulus plan require workers to have a Social Security number, thus excluding undocumented workers. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
The $64,000 question.
I've got a word or two to say about the things that you do.
Hi, it's Bob Oliver with the Quantum Leap and the $64,000 question. Where do you go to get a free checking account, no minimum balance, and they give you free money? And the answer is Wachovia Bank in the Sand Dollar Shopping Center in Sand City across from Borders. Wow, I got a lot of advertising in there. Remember, you're going to get money, free money, just by mentioning my name, Bob Oliver, at Wachovia Bank. Free money, free checking, and no minimum balance. Think for yourself. The Quantum Leap and KRXA 540.
time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco.
We love you.
Who may not know it, but they are beautiful. And
some
so
of them.
Is their city. This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA.
And please do it now, because we're broke and we could really use your travel spending here in San Francisco. It would be a stimulus that we could really, really appreciate. Bob Borisage with us, the co-founder, co-director of OurFuture.org. That's the Campaign for America's Future. And they've been hosting the Take Back America conference every year. The name has changed, but the event's coming up June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Washington. It's called America's Future Now, the conference to take America forward. And I'm looking forward to being there, Bob. You guys put on a great event every year. And we now have a lot to work with, opportunities, support, and political momentum. And so I really appreciate the work you've been doing in the wilderness. And hopefully as we move into the lush forest, we'll have a little more influence. What's your take on Tom Daschle's withdrawal as the point person on health care reform and Secretary of Health and Human Services?
Well, Daschle would have been a powerful figure for the reform agenda. And because of his contacts in the Senate, and because he had both the HHS position and the White House, he could have really helped drive that reform.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that there's a strong replacement for him. It's pretty hard to defend not paying taxes, and so.
Yeah, the limousine liberal part just doesn't wash. And
I'm not gonna go down that road. But
he
had a lot of skills that we'll miss.
Yeah, somebody dug up one of his campaign spots when he ran for Senate from South Dakota, where he bragged about how he drove himself to work in an old Pontiac. So that contrast is a little too rich. And a lot of people have been talking about Howard Dean. Now, he certainly doesn't have the back-channel relationships in the United States Senate that Tom Daschle brought to the table. But he's a medical doctor, and he fixed health care to some extent in his state of Vermont when he was governor. It was a signature issue when he was running for president. Do you think he's on a short list there at the Obama White House?
Well, I think he's got a problem with Rahm Emanuel, and from assuming the scuttlebutt in Washington is that the president's chief of staff has him on a short list of people he doesn't want in the administration. And
no.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but Dean is terrific, and he would be a real public champion of universal reform. The key is to get somebody in there who has the real confidence of the president. And has a real clout in the White House, because we're going to this thing. If the president goes forward with it, and I believe he should and will, it's going to the entire health insurance industry and the drug companies will unleash legions of lobbyists to try to stop it, and millions of dollars. And it's going to take somebody with real clout in the White House to keep it from being the key parts, like the public plan, from being compromised away. And so that's who we want. We want somebody that Obama trusts, but who's also a staunch advocate of universal reform.
Got a couple of callers for you, but I just noticed one other thing on your website here at OurFuture.org. You've got a conference coming up just a week away, February 11th, called Thinking Big Forward. What's the focus there, Bob?
We want to do a series of events about the economy we have to move to, about the structural changes we have to make to create an economy coming out of this mess that works for working people. This one is about the need to sustain public investment after the recovery, so that after we get the economy moving again, we've got to sustain the investment in education and energy and 21st century infrastructure and a new social contract, and we've got to find ways to pay for that by changing priorities, taking money out of the military.
Amen.
And by progressive tax reform.
Okay, that's coming up on February 11th, and you can get more information at OurFuture.org. John in Maple Creek, join us here on the PBC show with Bob Borisage.
Hi, I'm John. I'm a thinking Republican.
Okay, welcome.
The problem that I have is, Barack Obama is talking about, creating, millions of new jobs. Bush did that too, but what they're doing is they're replacing good-paying jobs with minimum wage jobs, which is useless. If it's not a living wage, you could create 300 million jobs, and it wouldn't make a difference.
John, with talk like that, how do you call yourself a Republican?
Hey, my party was stolen by a bunch of crooks in 1980.
Hey, good for you.
And I'm still fighting to get it back.
Well, get over it. But I appreciate your point of view. Bob, what's your comment?
Well, I agree with that completely. You know, at this point, people are just looking for jobs because we've lost so many and we've got to get the economy going back again. But in this process, we've got to create, you know, the kinds of laws that really empower workers to share, to get a fair share of the profits and prosperity that they generate. You know, when the economy was growing under Bush, when corporate profits were at record levels and productivity was rising rapidly, wages were still going down. Now, that hasn't happened recently. That's a sign of how weak the power of labor is, how weak the laws around minimum wage and fair labor standards are, and we've got to change that going forward.
Yeah. Hey, John, I'm out of time this hour, but call me back. I want to talk more with you. You sound like somebody I could work with.
All right, thanks.
Okay, good. And Bob Borisage, I'll keep working with you, too. Thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure. Take care.
All right. Coming up next is our free speech zone. Cindy's on the line. Stay there, Cindy. You'll be first out of the queue coming up next hour. And you can join in, too. Lines are open for the remainder of the program at 888-5-PETER-B. Any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, even thinking Republicans.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/PeterB. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama has turned up the heat as the Senate debates the big economic stimulus package. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
The president today issued his starkest warning yet about the state of the economy and the dire consequences of not passing his economic stimulus package.
A failure to act, and act now, will turn crisis into a catastrophe.
On Capitol Hill, though, Senate Democrats concede that if the vote were held today, it's unlikely the bill would pass. For the president now, the key to victory is winning over a group of about a dozen moderate Republicans and Democrats, and he's inviting them one by one for private meetings in the Oval Office.
The American people want us to act. They're just souring on this package.
On the CBS Evening News, Mr. Obama's former rival John McCain said Democrats have added too much spending.
They've laden it with all kinds of pet projects, I mean, from smoking cessation to all kinds of other programs which don't create jobs. Many of them are good programs. They just don't create jobs and stimulate the economy.
The president, responding to anger over executive pay at companies that took bailout funds, has imposed new rules for future distributions. Top executives of the most troubled firms would have their salaries limited to $500,000. Why didn't the Securities and Exchange Commission uncover the mess at Bernard Madoff's investment firm years ago? A whistleblower told a congressional hearing today that he knew what was going on, but no one would listen. SEC officials had to sit through this blistering critique from New York Democrat Gary Ackerman.
Your value to us is useless.
Accommodation, and we've
Your value to the American people is worthless.
The officials said they couldn't tell their side because the criminal case is pending. Stronger evidence now that U.S. Airways Flight 1549 had its engines crippled by birds. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive says investigators released their findings today.
Attaching a photograph of a feather 4 inches long found in the left engine, the National Transportation Safety Board says it's certain now that organic material in both engines is bird remains, all being sent to the Smithsonian Institution here in Washington, where ornithologists will try to determine at least if these were unusually big birds and how common they are around LaGuardia Airport. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
TV or not TV? That was the question facing millions of Americans if the conversion to digital television went ahead as scheduled this month. But CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports it won't.
For years, people have been told this TV transition to digital is coming. But the Nielsen Company estimates more than 6 million people with older sets relying on antennas still aren't ready. And their TV picture could turn to snow in less than 2 weeks. The other problem is the backlog of government coupons to buy the converters they need. So Congress, with President Obama's support, is voting to extend the deadline another 4 months.
The Dow lost 121 points today, closing at 79.56. This is CBS News.
Thanks for seeing us, Doctor.
Danny's warm. Let's get a temperature.
I want the Star Wars thermometer.
Absolutely, Danny.
What kind of thermometer is that?
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is what he means. Just a gentle scan across the forehead gives a fast, accurate reading. We're using it on all our patients now. It's good for the whole family. No more ears. Or rears.
Wowee, Mom, can we get one, too? I can't wait to take everyone's temperature.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner. A better thermometer. Home model available at Walmart, Walgreens, Costco, Sam's Club, Babies R Us, and Toys R Us.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
There's new evidence that menopausal women made the right decision when they quit taking hormone pills. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
After alarms were sounded about serious health risks, women across America stopped combination hormone replacement therapy. There was then a sharp surprise drop in breast cancer cases. Were they linked? A New England Journal of Medicine study now says yes, and also finds long-term estrogen progestin treatment is really risky.
For a woman continuing after 5 years of use, the risk was going to double each year.
Los Angeles biomed researcher Rowan Chabowski. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The school board in St. John, Kansas might be having second thoughts. On Monday night, it ordered the high school basketball coach to stop having his players hypnotized. The coach brought in a hypnotist to help the boys improve their concentration, but board members didn't like messing with their heads that way. Nevertheless, on Tuesday night, the St. John Tigers won. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Every month we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like GEICO's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. GEICO.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy squeezy lemon peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio.
Watch out.
He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
I'm willing to work under the Obama salary cap. $500,000, including cash bonuses. I think I could squeak by on that. So give me a bailout. Come on.
She's into superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition that girl's gonna make me fall.
888-5 Peter B. Your free speech zone is open.
She's into new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She makes you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She makes you live a crazy life, but she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Oh.
but I could get by on $500,000 a year and live a lifestyle even greater than the one I've been accustomed to. Yeah, I've been downsizing, haven't you? My lines are open this entire hour. I'd like to hear from you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The salary cap, good idea, good intention. Haven't read the fine print. Looks like there are loopholes that you could drive a truckload of stock options through. But you got to start somewhere. And I give Obama credit for wagging his finger at Wall Street about corporate jets being paid for by bailout money. Now we've learned that my bank, Bank of America of North Carolina, formerly from North Beach, California, but was bought a few years back, they took the bailout money, not once but twice, and spent $50 million on parties at the Stupid Bowl. Now where does it end? Where do they get a conscience? Yeah, you could say, oh, the contract for the Stupid Bowl was let long before the bailouts, and the bailouts were not because Bank of America, you know, itself is problematic, but it's because they accepted Countrywide and Merrill Lynch at the urging of our government. But at some point, we've got to get a handle on this. And at some point, these rock stars in corporate America who believe they're entitled to obscene compensation, they've got to get real. You ran this boat up onto the rocks, pal, and you want a bonus for it? I think not. 888-5-PETER-B. I've got other topics, but I want to get right to a caller from Washington State who's been holding patiently. I hope this is Cindy. What part of Washington State are you in, Cindy?
The central Yakima Valley.
In the Yakima Valley, all right. Can you hear our weekend broadcast out of Seattle on AM 1090?
Well, actually, I listen to your Monterey station on the Internet.
Okay, great. You've got it all dialed in.
I'm set.
So tell me what's on your mind.
I want to run a couple things by you.
Sure.
First thing, let this scenario float through your head.
All right.
With how Obama is behaving with the Republicans in Washington. It's like Mr. Rogers going up to against the Giancana crime family.
Mm.
And so, you know, he goes and visits, and he invites them over and stuff, and the lights all go out one night. And who do you think's going to leave with the bag full of money?
Yeah.
So
well, I hope
think it's he needs to take this a little more seriously or something.
Now, I don't think he is totally naive, okay? I think he believes that he can change Washington. And that's where I think he's just wrong.
Well, I think, you know, it would take a lot of other people that want to change Washington working with him, and I don't see those people coming on board.
And why is it that you can see it from the Yakima Valley and he can't see it from inside the Beltway, even with a BlackBerry?
Oh. You know, I would like to see Ralph Nader in there. He could do some work. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Peter, was on the stimulus package, you know, I think it's crucial. It's immediate. We need it done now. So I think they should just announce they will waste no more time arguing or talking or discussing or changing. Anyone wishing to opt out for their state would simply vote no, and their state could opt out and not participate.
Mm.
And I'll bet those Republicans would belly right up to the bar.
Well, what do we have to do to put you in charge, Cindy?
Huh? Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Gosh.
Well, you got some good ideas there.
Okay.
And, you know, I find it difficult because, yes, I believe we need to do something to put money in people's pockets to restore the demand side. We have seen the numbers out of Detroit. I've got them clipped here somewhere. I'll find them and recite them for you in a few minutes. But, you know, even the Japanese automakers are showing a 30% decline in sales in January.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, it's at the 50% mark for the for General Motors, and I think Chrysler is up there pretty close.
Right.
And we have to understand that Americans are not going to spend money when they don't know where the bottom is in terms of the value of their home. And that's the most crucial investment everybody makes, and too many people are afraid that they're underwater, that they owe more than their house is worth.
Well, I think the biggest thing is nobody can buy a car because they don't know if they'll still have a job by the time the end of the loan comes up.
Yeah.
So it's not, even if the money were available, who would take out a loan in these times?
Mm-hmm. Well, but my point is that we have to reach bottom. And maybe this is time for the 12-steppers to come on forward and explain it to us. But we've got to hit bottom and recognize that, you know, the only way we will dig out of it is by really changing our behavior. We can't keep doing the same things and expect a different result. And in particular, when these Republicans say that the only way to stimulate the economy is with tax cuts, other than the two I've identified for middle-class families and a payroll tax reduction that, you know, actually puts more money in your paycheck right away.
That's a good one.
You know, nobody's talking about increasing Social Security benefits. Those people in Washington, and I just avoided an FCC fine, those people have been borrowing from your and my Social Security trust fund for years. So why not pay it back by increasing the benefit checks to every Social Security recipient by 10 or 15% right now? That would have an important effect of helping protect the people who are most vulnerable to the increases in health care costs and the lack of health care insurance, and those who have been impacted by other increases rippling through the economy. Have you bought a box of cereal lately?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's $4 or $5.
And the boxes are smaller.
And a loaf of bread is $4. I mean, everything has shot up. And we need to address it right at the very grassroots level of demand.
Yeah. And for now, Peter, I think everybody that has a job needs to adopt a friend that doesn't have a job and kind of watch out for them, help them out.
Yeah. Cindy, thanks for your call.
All righty.
Really
Bye.
Appreciate it. 888-5 Peter B. Line's open for you to talk about anything that's on your mind. And we got some disturbing news just before we went on the air today from our friends at the American Civil Liberties Union. We did a segment earlier today with an interesting journalist, my first time talking with her, Chisen Lee from ProPublica.org, and we were talking about all the known unknowns, to use a Rumsfeld phrase, the memos that we know exist but are still secret regarding the various expansions of presidential power and the reinterpretation of law so that they could say we don't torture while we're torturing. We don't wiretap while we're wiretapping. And this comes from Britain, where the Obama administration has weighed in and thanked a British court for protecting secrets of the Bush administration relating to extraordinary rendition, that's kidnapping, and torture at Gitmo. Because a high court in London ruled that evidence of British resident Binyam Mohammed's extraordinary rendition and torture at Gitmo must remain secret, because of threats that were made last year by the Bush administration to stop sharing intelligence with Britain if they permitted this evidence to be revealed. Now, I cannot for the life of me understand why the Obama administration that says it's going to close Guantanamo would want to keep the torture policies and this torture episode secret. But the Obama administration made a statement to the BBC. The United States thanks the UK government for its continued commitment to protect sensitive national security information and preserve the long-standing intelligence-sharing relationship that enables both countries to protect their citizens. Now, I interpret that to mean, A, the Obama administration will continue to threaten Britain with a halt to intelligence sharing, which is stupid, because it's in our interest to share intelligence. What if a terrorist wants to get on a plane with a shoe bomb from Britain to the United States? It is in our self-interest to share intelligence with the Brits. But here Obama is extending a threat made by the Bush gang, saying, oh, if you embarrass us by revealing what we did at Gitmo, we won't share intelligence with you. So I'm very disappointed by this, and I am arbitrarily reducing the Obama administration score on my Jumbotron. Started off at 1,000, 2 days after the inauguration when they announced the executive orders closing Gitmo. But what we're learning in these early weeks of Obama land is that they're pretty good at projecting out there what we want to hear, what we want to see. I was delighted about the Gitmo announcement. But it's not everything. They haven't ended torture at Bagram in Afghanistan. There are other sites around the world we still don't know about. And they have tried to fine-tune rendition, saying, yeah, it's okay to kidnap people in broad daylight and fly them someplace, but we're going to make sure that we fly them someplace where they won't get tortured. So we're going to violate their rights. We're going to hold them without charge indefinitely on an arbitrary basis. But it's okay because we won't send them someplace where we know they'll be tortured. It's not good enough for me. Is it good enough for you? Dial up. Let me know. Express yourself. The First Amendment's still working, and our phones are working because Rocky hasn't chewed through any cables today. My toll-free number, 888-573-8372. It also spells 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Summer in Santa Cruz, you just can't beat it. It's time for friends, family, fun, and food. Whether it's an afternoon barbecue or a dining room banquet, it all begins with getting the best quality food at the best prices. For nearly 70 years, Shopper's Corner Market has delivered both. Shopper's Corner is the oldest family-owned and operated independent grocery store. It's where the locals shop.
I like their meat department. That's what I buy here.
They have a good organic selection.
Things you can't find other places.
Enjoy the friendliest service and fastest checkout at Shopper's while taking advantage of the everyday low prices on USDA choice meats, fresh local seafood, and produce.
Their produce is great. Actually, I shop around quite a few different places, but I always come back here because they have the best.
The variety of stuff you find here you don't find other places, and the service.
Shoppers has a vast assortment of cheeses and specialty foods, along with one of the best wine selections in the Monterey Bay area. Shoppers Corner, on the corner of Soquel Avenue and Brant 40 in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at shopperscorner.com.
I shop here because of the fact I live around the corner.
Shoppers Corner, it's where the locals shop.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. Right now in King City on County Road G14 at Sulphur Springs Road, we have a solo collision with an ambulance responding. A van has rolled over on the northbound side of the roadway, so you may experience some slow traffic there. Taking a look at Hollister Gilroy, we have a two-vehicle collision on Highway 25 at County Road G7. CHP is on the way there. In weather, we've got a lot of cloud cover happening right now, with temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. Expect rain tonight with temps falling into the mid-40s and south winds of 10 to 20 miles per hour. Thursday, we'll have more rain with highs in the mid-50s. That's your traffic and weather on KRXA 540. Have a fantastic evening and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. My lines are open for you in the free speech zone. Call me, 888-5-PETER-B. Lots to talk about. The Buy America clause that Republicans are resisting. Some of the other nonsense that's going on in Washington right now. And it's really sorry to see the Democrats really not in charge of setting the agenda. They're on the defensive. They're on the responsive. And Republicans are playing a much better minority game than the Democrats did. I'm sorry to say that. They're supposed to submit plans that, in my view, will be taxpayer-funded downsizing plans. That's right. We loaned them money so they can lay off more workers, shut down more plants, and damage more local economies. And we were talking about this last night at the conference with Norman Solomon and Lisa Maldonado here in the Bay Area, where we were talking about fashioning a new green, or a Green New Deal. And one of my issues is that the Democrats keep allowing the Republicans and the corporatists to set the agenda, to set the frames for what is okay, what can be discussed, debated, and implemented. And we saw the original $700 billion TARP package that was a three-page memo that came from Hank Paulson. The Republicans were standoffish. And so Pelosi and Bush put together that TARP package. Poof, $350 billion disappeared. We have no idea where that money is and if it had any impact in preventing a further free fall of our economy. So I'm not real optimistic about these early days of the Obama administration, and I don't feel like the Democrats are listening to us, to their own party members. And it's sad to say. Nothing new on the free Gaza ship we reported to you a little over an hour ago. A showdown on the Mediterranean in international waters as the Free Gaza freighter called Tali, T-A-L-I, was intercepted by two Israeli gunboats and two helicopters. Ordered to turn back, and the captain of the Tali said no. So this is shaping up into a confrontation. We'll keep an eye on that and let you know if there are any developments. To your calls now, 888-5-PETER-B. The free speech zone is underway. And this is Drew in Monterey. Hello, Drew. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Good to talk to you. Hey, you know, this thing about these companies taking this money and just blowing it on frivolous things is just getting under my skin, as I'm sure it is with most of the country. I mean, I feel the fingers of insanity tickling the back of my mind when I think that these guys are going on vacations with our tax dollars. And, you know, I try to do this as anonymously as possible. I know for a fact that some GM folks, you know, took a private jet to my neck of the woods and spent just ungodly amounts of money while they were here, you know.
Playing some golf at Pebble?
Yeah, and flying in on a private jet,
Okay.
And I think that I get so frustrated, Peter, and I know you do too. What can we do to control these dollars that these companies are getting. I mean, this company, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, this was for to help them restructure their company and kind of get them going again, right? What does flying to Monterey on a private jet have to do? What, were they going to the dealerships down at Sand City to check in with them and see how they're doing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, Peter. So, but you know, you and I are getting bent over on this one.
Yes, we are. Can I have your wallet? I'll hold it for safekeeping.
All right, sir.
Okay, Drew, good to hear from you. 888-5 Peter B. We'll take more of your calls after a quick break here. And the remainder of the hour is set aside to hear from you. 888-573-8372. Share a podcast of any portion of our program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
House and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable.
Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
It's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour coming this Friday, February 6th, to the Kawumba in Santa Cruz. Comedically capturing the spirit, stories, and people of the Monterey Bay Area, this Friday we've got comedians Dan St. Paul, Jim Joseph, and Joe Klosik.
I'll tell you this much, any culture that starts in a desert and disrespects its women is doomed to fail.
Dad, you live in Las Vegas.
Also joined by Zach Friend with the Stupidest Cop of the Month Award, Sven Davis brings all the sounds of the universe, the Planetoids, the latest blues from Planet Cruise. It's all at the Kawumba this Friday, 8 p.m. Tickets $18 in advance at Gateways Books, Streetlight Records, or planetcruise.org. $23 at the door, 320 Cedar Street, the Kawumba this Friday, the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Finally, a new talk show on KRXA that we can all use. Sundays 11 to 12, Listen to Fix It Up, an hour-long call-in talk show with contractor Bruce Pippin and electrician Marie. With years of experience and lots of humor, they'll answer all your questions, from how to fix your leaky faucet to finding the right contractor. You'll find simple, easy solutions to all kinds of things that can break down in your home. Fix It Up with Bruce and Marie, Sundays 11 to 12. Email in your questions or call in, only on AM 540 KRXA. Fix It Up.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
I'm riding shotgun with you. Will you slow down a little bit?
Get off that damn cell phone.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Get on that damn cell phone and call me. It's your free speech rights at 888-5-PETER-B.
I feel the hunger and it's the hunger. Tries to keep a man awake at night. I need the answer, I sure wonder. But I feel with my appetite, with all the power you're releasing.
Seven three eighty three seventy two puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you're listening after the fact, you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. I read them all, can't always answer, but I do my best to plow through over 100 emails a day. And your comments are always welcome here. Nancy's listening in Winters online. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Peter. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, good to have you calling in.
Yeah, I just have a couple of comments. You're talking about why the Democrats aren't being more forceful and Obama is, you know, okaying the British court, you know, or thanking them for not exposing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My one phrase is military-industrial-congressional complex.
Yeah.
I think they've all just, you know, they just all like working together. And right now, my other phrase is they're playing good cop, bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, that just seems to be the way it's been going for quite some time, and I think it just seems to be continuing.
Well, and it's so hard because, I mean, there's so many aspects to this. But if you just think back a year ago when the Democrats caved and gave Bush more money for Iraq than he asked for, longer term than he asked for, and we're not talking about it right now because we're so focused on our own mess here at home.
Right.
But they're going to be back in April asking for more money for Iraq. It's not in the Pentagon budget. It's going to be another Enron-style offshore bookkeeping effort, you know, where we have one of these emergency supplementals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you caught it, but General Odierno, who's now the top dog in Iraq, he was making these noises. Where did I see him? I guess it was on the NewsHour on PBS last night. And he said, oh, yeah, it's time. Troops are coming home. They've had 10 weeks of remarkably low violence levels in Iraq. And by the way, we came very close to getting a report from Iraq today from our buddy Dar Jamail. He's in Baghdad, and I dialed 24 times, and just the circuits would not open up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try again tomorrow because I want to get his take on this and see if the violence levels really have dropped as dramatically as we're hearing. That would be good news, and I certainly would accept it, but I fear that Muqtada al-Sadr has created a lull, and that just as we get ready to start to pull troops out, that things will get bloody again. Notwithstanding that, General Odierno made these noises about, yeah, we're going to start drawing down American troops. Well, what he didn't mention is the fine print. They will be drawn down from Iraq and drawn into Afghanistan.
Right.
And that they're only talking about a couple of brigades. They're really trying to slow down what Obama's intentions are by essentially offering him plans that he didn't ask for. Now, I hope he'll get aggressive and say, fellas, that's not what I asked for. I said two brigades a month out, you know, combat troops out in 16 months.
Yeah.
Now, even that is not the full loaf. Nobody's mentioned contractors and when they'll come home, and the loophole that Obama uses is always referring to combat troops. Well, there are, you know, 75,000 other troops there that don't fit that term combat troops, and we don't have a clue about what the intention is for bringing those home. And then we look at the fiscal impact. To continue to keep 130,000 American troops in Iraq has to cost us $3 or $4 billion a month. And so we can't redeploy that money to healthcare in the United States or stimulus payments or increased Social Security payments, all the things that you and I could agree on that would help revive our economy. We have to borrow that money because of our huge commitments in the Middle East.
Yeah, and what goes along with that, too, is then with people being out of work, of course, the military enlistment and re-upping has increased because people are out of jobs.
Isn't that sad? Yeah. Yeah, it's such an ugly cycle. And, you know, I've been prepared for a letdown here. I knew going in who Obama is and what he stands for, and it's not everything that we projected onto him.
Right.
But I have to say these 2 weeks have been rough.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Billy Capitola, you're on the air.
Peter B.
Hi.
Hey. Yeah, our conservative friend who called from Pebble Beach. What's his name?
That was Drew.
Drew, yes. Good old Drew. You know, when Drew gets it, everybody's getting it. And what I think we actually need to do is, part of what Obama's been getting wrong is trying to be kind to the Republicans, and the Democrats. And I think that he needs to just go directly to the people.
Well, you know, he's doing that. Are you on the email lists?
You know, I think I am, yeah.
They started coming out on Monday. There was one directly from President Barack Obama. Daschle had to go because this woman got bounced for less than $1,000 in tax anomalies, shall we say.
Well, the thing that he's fighting with that is this concept that I know bothers me, which is the unequal justice. You know, everybody else gets to get away with stuff, and the rest of us, you know, we pay and pay.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, one of the lies that the free market likes to tell me is that, you know, shareholders have control. Well, if you think for a minute that I want Sandy Weill, you know, head of former head of Citibank,
right?
Mm-hmm. So he takes a Citibank jet to Mexico this week. Well, what's the excuse there? You know, it's not like you can say, well, they did important business there. No, he took his family to Mexico because that's one of the perks they get when they went away. Jack Welch does the same thing at GE.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to believe for a minute that shareholders actually wanted to, A, overpay these guys, and, B, continue to do it after they're gone, that's craziness. And that's not what we want. It's just part of this, the need for this capitalism 2.0 to start telling the truth.
Well, Billy, let's conspire here. We've got to find some company that you and I can buy 100 shares in, actually get into the shareholders' annual meeting, and stir up some crap. Because we need to set an example with some company somewhere. And that is that you may have heard me talk about this before. I had a business. I was in a partnership with a couple of guys, and Jack died. And I was left with a choice of bankruptcy or holding on to an insolvent business. Fortunately, an angel came along and bought the business for more than it was worth and bailed me out. But I learned from that bitter experience, and I have a deep appreciation for the corporate structure. And it's not for corporatism. It's not for the corporate elites, but the basic structure of the limited liability corporation, where you put in $100 and the most you can lose is $100, but we get 10,000 people to put in $100. We got enough capital to open up a yogurt shop or, you know, a car dealership or whatever it is, a radio station, whatever we want to do. And it's brilliant when it works according to the plan. And the whole linchpin of it is fiduciary responsibility of the people on the board of directors. And that has been allowed to get way out of control. We need to string up a couple of directors and hold them accountable for their failure to observe their fiduciary responsibility to me as a shareholder by letting Sandy Weill take that jet to Mexico, by overpaying Jack Welch and giving him all these parachutes after he left General Electric. Now, I don't own and don't plan to own any GE stock, but I do believe that if we could get these high flyers back into compliance, we wouldn't need an Obama regulation that says 500,000 maximum with 14 asterisks and footnotes.
You're right, of course, but you know the ways in which you do it, like you mentioned, a good old way of doing it would have been to own some stock. It doesn't work anymore because those, the lousy CEOs don't run the kind of meeting where you get to actually say word one, even if you do own stock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, Bob Nardelli is a guy who at home who ran Home Depot into the ground for the stockholders,
right.
Took a few hundred million. Oh, and now he's head of Chrysler.
Yeah. Well, you and I just haven't managed to fail upwardly. There's something wrong with our career paths, Billy.
Well, it's not that. It's also something wrong with our heads, because there's some level at which I don't think I'm supposed to have this, like, special deal in life.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm supposed to have more than the next guy, and that's supposed to be what's important to me. So, you know, the failing is in me. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ambitious enough or
greedy enough.
Yeah. I mean, when I read Ayn Rand, I understood it was a novel, not a philosophy to cover just being a greedy MF-er.
Thanks, Billy.
You bet, bud.
What a guy. 888-5 Peter B. I've got room for your calls between now and the top of the hour. Found something very interesting in the op-ed section of the paper today, relating to people who stopped making payments on their homes and have been ordered out by the bank. If you're in that position, Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur says, stay.
Let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Credit due to Amy Goodman, the host of Democracy Now! On the radio, and she has a syndicated newspaper column that has just been picked up by the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm disappointed they dropped Robert Scheer in order to make room for her, but Amy does a great job, and this is something I had not heard about. Marcy Kaptur is a Democratic congresswoman from Ohio, near Cleveland. And she said to American people who are threatened with foreclosure, be squatters in your own home. Don't you leave. And this is interesting, because she's not telling you to defy the sheriff when they send a deputy to throw you out. But she's saying, don't just bail out when the bank says you've got to go. She said that there is a technical legal issue here that homeowners need to be aware of that really enhance their rights. And that is that many of the banks can't actually prove that you're in default on a specific mortgage contract. Why? Because they sold that contract, they don't have it anymore, and they don't know where it is. Isn't that brilliant? I mean, I hope someday we see all this unravel and some people go to jail. But in the meantime, Congresswoman Kaptur says, stay in your home and make the bank produce the note that they say you are in default of. She said, possession's nine-tenths of the law, therefore stay in your property, get proper legal representation. If Wall Street cannot produce the deed nor the mortgage audit trail, you should stay in your home. It's your castle. Most people don't even think about getting representation because they get a piece of paper from the bank and they say, oh, it's the bank, we've got to go. Rather than saying, this is contract law, the mortgage is a contract. I'm one party, there's another party, what are my legal rights? She said, if you look at the paper, the bad paper, where 95 to 98% of the paper really has moved to five institutions, it's J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wachovia, Citigroup, HSBC. She says they have this country held by the neck. Now, please don't take my advice because I'm not a lawyer. But if you're in this situation, and every day almost, I hear of someone I know who has stopped making payments on their mortgage, and they're waiting, waiting, and waiting. Well, keep waiting, but don't be passive. Get a lawyer. Go to Legal Aid or some other place to get low-cost legal advice if you need that. But don't voluntarily vacate your home. Don't just give up and say, oh, the goons are coming for me. Make them force the issue. Make them prove that they have the note, that they actually have the contract they claim that you are in default of. And I'll bet there's more at the Democracy Now! Website. Check it out. We'll take a break and return to the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Join me, if you will, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 traffic and weather. Right now in King City on County Road G14 at Sulphur Springs Road, we have a collision with an ambulance responding. A van has rolled over on the northbound side of the roadway. You may experience some slowed traffic there. CHP is also now on the scene. Also in King City on the southbound 101 just south of Wild Horse Road, there are pedestrians standing in lane number 2 hitchhiking. Be very careful there and make sure you have your lights on. In weather, currently it's partly cloudy out and it's getting a little chilly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
If you love KRXA 540, show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Walk with me.
We're walking, chewing gum, and talking all at the same time. That's why I wear a helmet. Prevent those unexpected injuries. 7 minutes in front of the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you know my number? 888-5 Peter B. There's another famous number out there, and it's up for sale on eBay.
I got your number on the wall. I got it. For a good time. For a good time. Call.
You know this number. A plumbing outfit picked it up. And so did a guy named Spencer Potter in New Jersey. They're not going to sing it for me, huh? Well, it's 867-5309. And Spencer Potter owns 201-867-5309. He's gotten hundreds of crank calls over the years, and he's had enough. So it is available for sale, and if you go to eBay, it says, selling my DJ company with the most famous phone number in history. See, he can't just sell the phone number, but if he sells the company, he can sell the number. Well, I'll pass. I get enough nuisance calls already. And I don't mean that about Scott from Monterey. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. You know, I really think that we should take the same rope that Bush hung Saddam Hussein. We should hang Bush with that same rope and Rumsfeld, because kings don't kill kings.
Hmm.
I really feel strong about that. We need to go after all those guys, and if, you know, if
well,
we're
I'll,
not going to do
I'll,
it,
I'll, I'll accept this as an image thing on your part, Scott. I don't actually support capital punishment, even for dark figures like Bush and Cheney. I didn't support it for Saddam Hussein. In fact, under Saddam Hussein, there was no death penalty for common criminals. There certainly were political executions, and I don't rationalize that in any way. But it is unusual that we went into Iraq to promote freedom and democracy, and we imposed a death penalty law that didn't exist before. So, yes, I want full accountability for Bush, Rumsfeld, Cheney, David Addington, and the whole gang. And we've got to do it against the inclination of the new president and many Democrats. But John Conyers just published a nearly 500-page report. Go to my friend Steve Pizzo's website, bushproject.com. He just posted the Conyers document today, and he's got the Downing Street memos and many other incriminating documents that detail the misdeeds and the power grabs, the unconstitutional behavior of the last 8 years. And you've heard me. I don't want to sound like a broken record. This is an important effort to preserve our democracy. It's not a political witch hunt. I'm not looking to be vindictive. I want justice. And you only get justice when you uphold the law for all.
Exactly. All right, Peter, you're doing a great job. Thank you very much.
Okay, Scott, appreciate the call. I really do. So these are the issues that we have to continue to work on. And I realize that things are very busy, complicated politically in Washington. But I believe that this post-partisan effort by Obama will be short-lived. I really hope that he comes to his political senses. He's got good instincts. And that he recognizes that you cannot negotiate with radical extremists whose desire is to bring you down. And I don't get the calculus of this Judd Gregg nomination to Secretary of Commerce. Because when it was first announced, you heard my little tickled response. Oh, yeah, we're going to get 60 votes in the Senate. And maybe it'll come in 2 years because, as a caller pointed out, New Hampshire is an increasingly Democratic state. And the woman the Republican appointed to fill out Judd Gregg's term has at least pledged not to try to seek a six-year term following. So we will see. In the meantime, rivals, adversaries, some would call them enemies, in other parts of the world are testing Obama. In Iran, with some fanfare, they launched a rocket with the first satellite for Iran that'll go into orbit. Satellites are important for navigation if you want to launch missiles and deliver a nuclear payload. We're a long way from that. And in Iran, when they launch a missile, they take a picture, they go to Photoshop, and they doctor it and add more missiles, that kind of thing. So we have to take that with not a grain of salt, but just the knowledge that images can be manipulated. And meanwhile, North Korea fired another Taipodong 3 just to say, hey,
happy
Kim Jong-il, my hair, still over here. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Join me there.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For the top executives of failing companies, no more soft landings.
We're taking the air out of golden parachutes.
If they take bailout money, President Obama says their salaries will be capped at $500,000.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The president's move is driven by recent reports of $18 billion in Wall Street bonuses last year, even as the Federal Rescue Fund kicked in when the economic downturn worsened. But the new limits won't necessarily affect those bonuses. The pay cap is aimed at top executives at troubled companies receiving what's described as future exceptional government help.
The president held a series of meetings with senators today trying to win their support for the economic stimulus package. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports he had limited success.
Democrat Ben Nelson told the president at least $50 billion needs to be cut before he can vote yes.
It'll take that sort of scrubbing to bring some of the votes on board.
Maine Republican Susan Collins says she would like to vote for the bill.
Unfortunately, there's billions of dollars of spending in this bill that may be for worthwhile programs, but they really have nothing to do with boosting the economy.
For example, she says $1 billion in facility upgrades at the State Department and $780 million for pandemic flu preparedness.
Mr. Obama warns the economic crisis will become a catastrophe if there's no action soon. A whistleblower told a congressional hearing today that the Securities and Exchange Commission ignored his warnings about investment manager Bernard Madoff. SEC officials were sitting there, and New York Democrat Gary Ackerman let them have it.
One guy with a few friends and helpers discovered this thing nearly a decade ago, led you to this pile of dung that is Bernie Madoff, and stuck your nose in it, and you couldn't figure it out.
In the final weeks of the Bush administration, 77 parcels of federal land in Utah were leased for oil and gas drilling. Today, the new Interior Secretary, Ken Salazar, tore up those leases. Christine Johnson is a spokeswoman for the Sierra Club.
We're thrilled. This action by Secretary Salazar really signals a new era in the way that our public lands are going to be managed.
Environmental groups sued to block the sales. Salazar says they were rushed. Hundreds of pages of documents in the Barry Bonds case were made public today. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman had a look.
The government claims these documents show that Barry Bonds